Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Roto-Rooter Football Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of this, the most important podcast in the universe. Not too much to get to before we start this episode. I will say, if you enjoy it for any millisecond, moment, breath, hit that subscribe button. Plenty of good off-season content headed your way. There's columns up on the NFL section, columns up on the college football section / NFL draft. So be sure to go and check those out. I would even suggest Hayden Winks' stuff ahead of the NFL Combine, just on the correlation between successful times and market share and production versus success in the NFL. Today's podcast, since it is Valentine's Day, will be focused on quarterback matchmaking. How topical. And in order to do that, I need some friends to join me. Yes, I will call them friends. First up is Raymond Solomon. Ray, how are you?
Living the dream, you know, ready for this momentous day. It's a day I wait for every year. I absolutely love it. And that is the start of Overwatch League. I am I'm pumped the next two nights to watch Overwatch League. And then Saturday, we'll see what the wife wants to do.
I told you that I covered the finale, correct?
Yeah, I know. I'm very jealous that they chose you, to someone who I don't think has ever played Overwatch.
No.
To go and watch this finale and cover it. And I, meanwhile, am sitting at home just watching it on Twitch, twiddling my thumbs.
I think part of that decision was I somehow relate to, because I watch Twitch, that people relate me to video games and to, you know, people that are over the age of, let's say, 40. They think every video game is just the same.
Yeah.
So just me knowing about some video games just means I know everything about Overwatch. It was a super cool event, by the
way. They're amazing. It's truthfully, like, I love esports. I've been playing a lot of Apex lately. It's, I think, going to be the next big game. Esports are truly amazing. You want to just do an esports podcast? Pat, are you interested in that?
Pat, what games do you game?
Every game's not the same. There are two types of games. There are games where you shoot people and games where you play FIFA. And
yeah, those are the only two options.
Yeah,
there used to be a game where you play college football, but there's a lot of stuff going on.
The powers that be shut that one down. That was the third type of game. I was obsessed with that one. My gaming, mostly, I've been playing Zelda Breath of the Wild for like literally 2 years off and on. I might beat that at some point.
I mentioned that today is Valentine's Day. It's a super important day for other people, not me. But I do have a question before we move on to football stuff. I mean, I feel like I have to ask this question since it is today. Are there any good Valentine's / dating stories you would like to throw in our direction?
Oh, that's interesting. I in general do not celebrate holidays.
Just anti-holiday overall.
So, yeah. So I choose to, as I say, I choose to love my wife every day of the year, not just one. You call it personal preference. And so we don't really ever do anything for it. So no, I guess not.
Pat, anything on Valentine's / dating?
Well, as everyone knows, I'm a hopeless romantic.
That's what I envision when I look at you.
Grand romantic gestures it's honestly, frankly, a surprise I even have time to work. Nothing really comes to mind, but you guys ever heard of this thing called having two kids?
Yeah.
So there's this thing called having two kids, and So my family, we have this, we do this thing where we have two kids, and now Valentine's
Day. How does that work?
Day,
Valentine's
Day back-to-back years has now consisted of picking up to-go Indian food. Yeah, that's my whole love Valentine's.
Am I allowed to share some?
Go for it.
Is that fine? I mean, this is just, I'll keep it short since none of y'all wanted to share anything. I think my last relationship was like fifth or sixth grade, and
oh boy.
And so what I would do, because I'm the type that, you know, is so aware of other people's feelings and thoughts that I was too scared to like ask my mom to go get something for my then girlfriend. So instead what I would do, and this went on from fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, was like the morning of Valentine's, I would go into my mom's jewelry box, find what I thought was the least expensive thing in there.
Oh my.
Take it out and take it to school and then give it to my girlfriend.
So your story is that you were stealing from your mother. Yes. That is your
I was going to make a joke about shoplifting. And then, it turns out you were actually just stealing.
But I mean, the thought process is like trying to not hurt anyone's feelings when you think about it. Because one, I didn't want to not show up with anything for the Valentine, my you know, important Valentine in fifth, sixth, seventh grade. But then also, I didn't want to take the most expensive jewelry from my mom's jewelry box. No, I just wanted to take the least expensive one. So I think I just basically lifted plastic things out and
so I'm sure,
gave them to someone else.
As a sixth grader, you had a real good you were a real good judge of what was expensive jewelry.
Yeah, you were very up on GIA certifications on diamonds.
Well, I'm sure if it's small, that means it was cheap. So
this is just a L color VS1. So I mean, there's really nothing. There's really nothing to this one.
This is just an 8-carat, you know, not a 12. So
you get out the magnifying glass. You can there's two imperfections in this one.
Right, I bit down on it, you know, and all that good stuff. So, anyways, that's my story. I think one year I gave like a locket. I mean, it's all awful stuff. That I look back. One was like a turquoise bracelet that wasn't really turquoise. Anyways, sorry, Catherine. Okay, Ray, I'll list the quarterbacks and I'll list the teams, and then I'll let you start with whichever direction you want to go. The quarterbacks that most likely are available are Brett Hundley. Okay, never mind.
Are we adding a laugh track to the podcast? Because the laugh track was going in my head for sure.
Okay, the real list is Ryan Tannehill, Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Case Keenum. Obviously, all of those at the time of the recording aren't free agents. Some are available via trade, or some will be free agents. But again, that's most likely the list. And then for teams, we have Washington, Jacksonville, Miami, the Giants. And then I threw in two maybe wild cards here with New Orleans and Cincinnati. Ray, start us off. Either give us a team with a match or a player in a match.
Well, I think the place to start is, first of all, how short that list is.
Yeah.
And I mean, that list probably would have been longer. I guess we're not going to talk about the Flacco trade.
Start us off there, we can.
I mean, like that trade. The only way that trade makes sense is if you take into account John Elway's height fetish, because otherwise...
Should we also take into account that John Elway is a loyal Roto-World Football Podcast listener?
I know. I probably should have not started out so hot there.
Just say, John, I really love the trade, but...
I'm just saying, like, what they essentially did was trade an at-best middle-of-the-road quarterback for another at-best middle-of-the-road quarterback who has a concerning history of back and hip injuries, and then you also gave up a mid-round pick and some cap space in the process. And I don't really, like, I don't know what the purpose of that trade was. I don't know what they're trying to do. Like, if you look at their numbers over the last four seasons, Keenum's actually been better, and he spent two of those years starting for a Jeff Fisher team. If you take out the Viking year, you remove that from the numbers, it's still basically the same as Flacco. According to ESPN's Mike Sando, using ESPN's numbers, Case Keenum would have been expected to win 8.5 games per season over the last 3 years with an average team around him. Joe Flacco would have been expected to win 8.2 with his play, so you actually even got worse according to their numbers. Like, even if Keenum's Vikings numbers like skew all of that, you're basically getting the same quarterback. You sent a fourth round pick for him, and you are going to have quarterback's going to take up a larger percentage of your cap space. Can somebody explain why that trade happened to me?
Not only, so yeah, Case Keenum and Joe Flacco together take up more cap space than Aaron Rodgers. I forget who tweeted that this week, but I'm going to regurgitate a tweet I had on Wednesday.
Pat, you have one of those every episode, and I love it.
Ding.
No, we need a bell for when he says it. Like,
Twitter is the center of the universe, so it makes sense.
No one's going back through your tweets and like going, well, he's already tweeted this. Like,
okay, it stands to reason. If you're listening to the Roto-World Football podcast, some of them have probably seen the tweets. But anyways, Joe Flacco has made 51 starts over the past 4 years. So there are 18 quarterbacks who have made at least 51 starts over the past 4 years. And Joe Flacco is dead last amongst that group of 18 in yards per attempt, touchdown percentage, and quarterback rating. So he just hasn't been – I mean, you could argue, was he ever a good quarterback? I mean, just Frank straight up has not been a good quarterback over the past 4 years, keeping company with Blake Bortles. So he's 18th in all those categories, and Blake Bortles is usually 17th. And so that's the company Joe Flacco has been keeping the past 4 years. And yeah, I don't think the move makes sense.
He's high key been awful is the best way to put it.
Yes.
And Bray, you made another good point that this is different than last year's free agent group or available quarterback group in that, like, last year Kirk Cousins was available, right? So whoever was able to get him was not going to select a quarterback in the draft. Like, whoever adds any of these quarterbacks is still likely looking at quarterback in the draft if the one that they like is available. Like, none of these are prohibiting from a team to trying to improve in their roster despite adding one of these names.
And I think, like, the Denver point specifically, they are probably not going to be involved in the free agent market, which is what we're talking about here. But, I mean, they still have to be looking at a quarterback in the draft. And this actually brings me to this kind of second point here, which you brought up at the beginning, which teams are actually looking for a quarterback. And a team that wasn't, or I believe is on your list, the Giants, right?
Correct.
But the Giants, are they really looking for a free agent quarterback? Like, all the reporting we've seen has said that they are going to keep Eli Manning. And if that's the case, then they're certainly not going to bring in another free agent. You wouldn't expect that they would, unless maybe it's somebody like a Teddy Bridgewater. So
there's a certain special someone available, and his name is Geno Smith, but continue.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
But Ray, you did make a point here. And okay, there are three starting jobs that are 100% open, right? That's Washington, that's Jacksonville, and that will be Miami, correct? There are six quarterbacks on this list that had starting experience just last season in Tannehill, Foles, Bridgewater. I guess Bridgewater didn't, so they're five. So Tannehill, Foles, Tyrod, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Case Keenum. Like, so two of those are not going to be starters most likely heading into next season.
And this is actually back to something that we talked about in a podcast last year. I can't exactly remember when, but we talked about this kind of unprecedented lack of quarterback need.
Yeah.
And it's really unbelievable to see older quarterbacks are just sticking around. I don't think any of us would have expected Tom Brady, Drew Brees, maybe even guys like Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger to still be playing at a high level, but they are. Dan Graziano made a great point about just the volume of first-round quarterbacks in the last few drafts. There were five last year. There have been eight in the last 2 years. There have been 11 in the last three seasons. And of those 11, the only one that has flamed out to this point is Paxton Lynch. Perhaps Mitchell Trubisky, you know, joins that list. Perhaps some of the guys from last year will join that list. But at this point, you have 10 teams who have drafted a first-round quarterback in the last 3 years and still feel comfortable with where they are at quarterback. And that's almost a third of the league. That's really crazy. And when you look at all that, it kind of contributes to what we're seeing here. There's really not that many places for these quarterbacks to go.
Pat, is it fair to ask you which one of these quarterbacks you see as the most talented? Would that be Nick Foles? Like the one you most believe in?
No, probably not. Probably still believe in Tyrod Taylor more than Nick Foles, just to be honest. I mean, Nick Foles, it's weird. First off, I don't think any of these teams should sign any of these quarterbacks as anything other than a stopgap option, obviously. And as I'm sitting here thinking about fits, you know, Nick Foles to the Jaguars is going to be a thing because of hashtag flip down there coordinating the offenses and his Eagles, Nick Foles connection. I'm not sure how realistic it really is because Sometimes it's hard to tell with these contracts, but I'm pretty sure from studying Blake Bortles' contract that he's still due at least $6.5 million guaranteed this year, and they would have very little cap relief from cutting him this year. So, flip to the Jags could be a move I would approve. Not flip, Foles to the Jags would be a move I could approve of. I think Tyrod Taylor to the Redskins would be a move I approve of. Jay Gruden kind of likes this conservative, kind of station to station, high percentage offense. Tyrod Taylor can be a high percentage passer, doesn't take. So like Alex Smith, and that he doesn't take many risks. So he's been kind of a low turnover quarterback. But yeah, none of these guys really get the heart pumping, you know. And the fit, if you're talking about good fits, it's all relative just to this basically with the black holes these teams currently have at quarterback.
You mentioned the money issues with Jacksonville, and I think that could be it. I will say that they have like two or three cuts. Malik Jackson is one of them. That are like cuts that are definitely going to happen on defense, who are going to clear a lot of cap room. They do still owe Bortles money, but I believe that cutting him would save like $5 million against the cap. I don't know.
It would be like only like $5 million. It's leaving behind a lot of dead money, but
sure.
You know, these guys, they've got people that can cook these books. I mean,
so I think they can figure it out. But I look at the entire like market, and I don't know if like just Foles going to Jacksonville like quote unquote makes sense. That might be his only option. Like,
yeah,
where
like Nick Foles is probably expecting a payday. I mean, is he expecting a payday? I don't know. What's realistic with Nick Foles? Like a Case Keenum contract?
Case Keenum got a ton of money last offseason. I believe it was like a 2-year contract, like $35 million or something like that.
So like, but is Nick Foles thinking like, is he thinking 2020 guaranteed money though? That's the barometer of a good deal. Like if you get guaranteed money beyond the upcoming season.
Yeah. No, it's fair. I mean, like if you have $10 million guaranteed heading into that second season, you know, that it's more than just like a whittled down 1-year contract is really what you're asking.
Well, okay. he just gave up, what was it, 20 million?
Right.
He paid $2 million to give up 20 million.
Right.
That tells you, I believe that was 20.
I call that a Wednesday.
Thank you. I think that says a lot about, you know, what he thinks he's going to be. But he, and I would say also both the Eagles, if you're expecting the Eagles to maybe franchise tag him, they're certainly not going to pay him that money. The only reason they would do that would be to trade him. They're both in a tough spot here because you go down this list, and Josh mentioned the list. I would throw maybe the Raiders in as a wild card team with the Bengals. I think they're in a very similar spot, but they're not going to upturn their franchise for someone like Foles. The Titans and Bucks are interesting teams, I think, that maybe we're not really considering as much as we should. I mean, the Bucks, do they know what they have in Winston now? Now that they're going to have to start paying him.
I mean, dude, they basically made a head coaching hire to believe in Jameis Winston. I mean, that's
sure,
coach speak. But I mean, it's crazy how much it changed from, you know, week 5 of the NFL season to immediately after the year.
Sure. But what happens if in January, I mean, in July, Aaron's like, oh, I can't work with this guy. So like, there are some interesting things there. Denver's already made
the
play.
If you bench a quarterback in a contract year, I mean, that, no matter what, even if in the offseason you think like you're back together, like that's a pretty powerful signal. I do think he will be the starter, but I do agree with Ray that it is an intriguing one.
I totally agree with both of you. I just think it was bananas how the storyline shifted so much from, hey, in week 5, are we sure Jameis Winston's even going to be this quarterback in 2019 to, okay, now we're firing everyone and basically making hires so that Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston can work together.
So, I agree that I don't think that they're in play here. I do think that they're a team to watch, but I don't think they're in play here. Keep going down that list. The Giants, they don't want to seem to get rid of Eli, so you're not going to pay Foles. Washington has too big a cap issues because of that Smith contract to really take on a big contract. The Dolphins seem like they want to tank, which means they're probably not going to sign someone like Foles. Like, where else
means
is
they're
there
gonna
for
sign
Foles?
All of these guys?
Sure, maybe. Where else is there for Foles to land aside from Jacksonville? Is there another option for him?
Honestly, he left money on the table knowingly because he just wants to start. And, you know, he's going to make $15 or $16 million probably regardless, and that might be worth it to him at this stage of his career to leave $4 to $5 million guaranteed on the table just so he knows he's the starting quarterback. So, I mean, maybe that factored into his thinking.
Okay, 15 minutes ago, I said we were going to start matchmaking.
Sure. Sorry.
so let's start doing that. And if it's as simple as, you know, crossing off players with teams because we associate them together, let's do that. So we've done that with Nick Foles and Jacksonville. Okay, so I'm crossing them off.
Sure.
So Next up, I mean, the one that is the most glaring that needs a starting quarterback is Washington. Okay. I think you can look at this one of two ways with Washington. One, I mean, they should not be this optimistic, but maybe that they are because they're going to owe him so much money, is they believe that Alex Smith will be back in 2020. So this is mainly just a one-year look at a quarterback. Probably the rest of the guys in this list are one-year contracts in some way to kind of rehabilitate their starting image. Even Ryan Tannehill will probably be like that. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy makes a ton of sense because he does need those, you know, 16 games under his belt to earn a long-term deal, because he's certainly not going to see, you know, double-digit millions this offseason as a starting quarterback after not, you know, starting for basically three seasons.
I think what Pat said about Terod makes some sense for Washington, and I agree with you. But I think that for them, because of the uncertainty with Alex Smith, then they can say whatever they want about how optimistic they are about the future. From everything we've read about what actually happened and what that injury was and what it entailed, it would certainly not be a surprise if we just don't see Alex Smith again. With that in mind, I think kind of the best thing to do would be to do what you said, Josh, is to sign one of these guys who is going to be a mid-tier kind of contract. You're not going to have to pay him that much because you have so much money wrapped up in Smith already, but still has some upside. Teddy Bridgewater has some upside. I don't know if Ryan Tannehill has some upside, but maybe theoretically there's something there for him. So that if it does work out, and I mean, we have to remember that this team was squarely in the playoff race, was what leading the NFC East whenever Alex Smith was injured. If that works out, then you can move forward even if Alex Smith isn't able to come back. And if Alex Smith is able to come back, well, then it's just, then you can let those guys go on and do whatever they're going to do. So I think something like that, kind of the upside play, makes a lot of sense for them over someone like Terod. But if they are really like, we just need to win this year, then maybe Taylor's the option.
Yeah, with the Redskins, you could kind of make a fit for a lot of these guys. And Tannehill, you know, it's hard for me to sit here with a straight face and say Ryan Tannehill is like a good fit for any NFL team, but we know he can at least play NFL quarterback for stretches of competent for stretches. And I could certainly see Ryan Tannehill being a 2 to 3 year Jay Gruden quarterback. He can be kind of one of those like fake high percentage completion percentage passes. He's one of the knocks on him. He's afraid to pull the trigger on deep balls a lot of the time, and Jay Gruden doesn't seem to mind that necessarily, even though they drafted Josh Doctson, who has to be a jump ball catcher. Case Keenum, even if Washington wanted to go true stopgap, I mean, Case Keenum could be a good Jay Gruden quarterback. But Tyrod Taylor would be another perfect stopgap for Washington. But yeah, if they wanted to think more in the 2 to 3 year window, I think Teddy or Tanny. Could be the next great Jay Gruden hope.
Here's my question with Teddy. Is it unreasonable to think there's a good to strong chance that he returns to New Orleans? And I ask this because, I mean, New Orleans traded legit compensation to have him on their roster, you know? Like, it was a third-round pick. I mean, maybe it's because they thought their roster was in a place where they knew this is their window to win. So if for some reason Drew Brees went down for 4 to 5 games, that he could keep them in the playoff hunt, maybe that was it. But could the other side of it be that they, I mean, Drew Brees is on the wrong side of 40. We're talking 40 here, you know? Could they view Teddy as that quote-unquote quarterback of the future, even though that term hasn't happened since, what, Aaron Rodgers, basically?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to view Teddy Bridgewater really as a quarterback of the future. I think he might already be settling Twitter into like kind of the leisure portion of his career, where he's like the $8 million backup. So just like a very highly paid backup that you can like convince yourself that if he had to play, the offense would not go off the rails. And you know, maybe he's still a better quarterback than that, but it hasn't worked out. Kind of circumstances conspired against him, but yeah, I could definitely see Teddy Bridgewater entering like kind of like the $8 million backup phase of his career, which would be perfect for the Saints, because they're in like the Saints have made it quite clear that they view their championship window as wide open.
So let's make things complicated, okay? Let's say that Teddy is the one going to Washington, okay? That leaves Ryan Tannehill not going to Miami, because that's impossible, because he's still there. Where does Ryan Tannehill go? Does he go to Cincinnati, possibly?
I would say it's better than 50% shot that Ryan Tannehill is a backup this, or at least enters the season in a quarterback competition. Like we talked about at the top, there just aren't that many starting spot jobs available. They just don't exist. And unless it is Washington, I mean, where is it going to be? Like, or do we think that the Jaguars are going to go out of their way to sign Tannehill to replace Foles?
If they want the fans to revolt.
Yeah, like, so I don't know. I don't understand where this is. And are you really, if you're in Cincinnati and you're worried that Andy Dalton's not the option, do you think that Ryan Tannehill is the answer for you? If you're an Oak,
you go get the worst version of Andy Dalton.
Here's why I think that quarterback is more of an option now than it was before in Cincinnati, and it's because they finally made some changes. You know, like year after year, offseason after offseason, draft process after draft process, the team was like, yeah, every position is open for evaluation except for quarterback. Like, I just think with changes, maybe come some fresh eyes at the position. But I'm not saying, you know, that Ryan Tannehill is an automatic upgrade. But in some ways, like, I bet they bring in some level of competition or competency in the backup position.
They're going to draft Daniel Jones. Ryan Tannehill, perfect Belichick troll. That could be a nice Patriots troll signing. Have Tannehill be the new backup there. You guys think the Ravens could maybe, the Ravens strike me as a team that might want to have like an able-bodied backup, someone they think that if the offense gets completely broken at some point, have someone come in.
I mean, RG3 seemed to be like a competent backup for what they wanted him to be last year, and he's obviously a free agent once again. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they go cheaper in that regard and have him back.
Most of these guys will probably be pretty cheap, all things considered.
I also believe that Tyrod now is like – the gatekeeper of the quarterback position, you know, the guy that will start for your first 4 to 6 games and then halfway for a rookie to come in and be the starter. So that would make sense for Miami. That would make sense not for the Giants, because obviously Eli's there. So Miami would make sense. Ryan Fitzpatrick is another name.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami is like perfect. It like, this is a team that you want to be fun. Right. And so you want to have an offense that puts points on the board. We know that Fitzpatrick can do it, but you don't want to win because you want to get one of those quarterbacks in the 2020 draft. And I think that Fitzpatrick is perfect. I think he's
perfect for tanking is what you're saying.
I think he's absolutely what Miami should want. They should want Ryan Fitzpatrick. You have a guy that's going to make plays, have fun on offense, and throw enough interceptions that you still get the number 1 through 3 pick. And I think that it's prime fit for them.
The quote unquote organic tanking that Miami's going to do.
He is the platonic ideal of a tanking quarterback. Right?
I also think that Ryan Fitzpatrick has this really admirable skill of in the first half looking like a top 7 quarterback in the league, and then the second half of games looking like a bottom 7 quarterback in the league. I mean, that much variance, I mean, it's rare in the NFL to find. And so let's embrace that.
He went to Harvard.
Right, right.
He went to Harvard, but not the best at the adjusting.
Right.
He plays one.
I mean, but guys, I mean that does leave Case Keenum's name available, and I think Case Keenum is, you know, more talented than, or I would say I would depend on him more as my starter than honestly a Tyrod Taylor, and maybe in some
Case
games
Keenum is a decent backup. I wouldn't even say Case Keenum is an elite backup. I'm still full fade on Case Keenum, just to be perfect.
But the issue with that is like, in its current state and its current iteration, you have to give up a draft pick for Case Keenum as well. And that's not the case with anyone on this list right now, except for Ryan Tannehill, but he'll most likely just be cut.
What about the Giants? Like, they're on our list, but like,
can I throw a curveball at you?
Sure.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. I mean, but the Colts don't want to trade him, do they?
No. And they're not going to get
him. Here's my question.
What would be the realistic best offer someone would make for Jacoby Brissett?
Maybe a third round pick, you know, a fourth round pick.
Yeah. I mean, that does happen for backup quarterbacks. So I guess I can never say that.
Teddy was just traded for a third round pick.
The Giants, you know, there's some old coaches. If there's one thing I know about NFL coaches is that there is nothing they love more than players who previously played for them that do not currently play for them. And I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was briefly under Pat Shurmur in Minnesota. I mean, Case Keenum was. I mean, Sam Bradford was. You guys, you hearing me? You feeling me? So I would not be surprised whatsoever to see the Giants add a backup. who has at one point or another.
I would be stunned because then they're going with a backup of a backup. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, if they make a trade for Jacoby Brissett, that's them viewing him as their starter. You know, like maybe not immediately.
But
like,
no one's going to trade for Jacoby Brissett viewing him.
That's not how the Colts view him as someone who other teams.
I think most of that's coach. The Colts, you know, they're basically out there saying we wouldn't even trade him for two first rounders. You know,
here's the
thing about the
Giants. The Giants have two options this year. You cut Eli, you go find another stopgap and you draft a quarterback. You keep Eli and you draft a quarterback. If your option is that you keep Eli and then you go get another, if you try to do a John Elway and go get another, that's absurd. That is not the option that I wouldn't put it past Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, I think they're going
to
do it.
But like that would be such an asinine thing to do this offseason. You have to find your quarterback of the future. It's not Eli Manning. It's not Case Keenum. It's probably not Jacoby Brissett. I don't know if it's Teddy Bridgewater, but I'm telling you.
It's Ryan Tannehill.
It's definitely not Ryan Tannehill. You cannot go in with Eli and another veteran and say, we're fixed. Like, it's just, that would be absurd. It would just be absurd. Cut Eli. Go get the veteran you actually want and then
they're not going to do that.
But I know but that's the problem.
They still might. I mean, it's pretty, the night is young.
It would kind of be stunning. I mean, like based on what they've said, I'm not saying performance wise, but based on what they've said,
every offseason there's one or two big lies where a team will spend 3 months saying they're not going to do something. And then they,
what if it's Ryan Tannehill?
I agree that it would.
What if Ryan Tannehill's still in Miami week one?
I agree it would be surprising at this point if they cut Eli, but there is every offseason there are a few very tall tales, and they could just blame it on, you know, we thought we were heading in the same direction, you know, talking about 2020 contract language, we're further apart than we thought, and just thought it's best now for both sides to move on. So that could still happen, but like it's not the most likely outcome.
I think we've pretty much covered it. Look, I think it's fair to say from the outside perspective that Nick Foles will be the most wanted quarterback of this group. Okay. Yep. And then after that,
is Nick Foles good?
Well, that's beside the point. The NFL probably thinks he does.
I know. I was just throwing it late.
Is Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles good?
Joe Flacco, man.
But so other than that, of the players who I would put in that next group to me, which is Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater, one of those guys is going to be left in the dust in terms of most likely a starting quarterback job.
Yep.
It's that.
And I would put
most of these guys will be back.
Right. But I'm saying like of that next tier, and maybe you want to throw Case Keenum in the next tier, or someone believes Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor or whatever. But one of those guys in Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater most likely will be left out of a starting gig. So I want to throw out New Orleans there because it's pretty clear that they value a quality backup quarterback. And so one of these guys might end up there as well. So.
I think the Cowboys in the past have been willing to pay highly for a backup quarterback. I wouldn't see
on their roster or off their roster.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They could be a mystery team. You heard it here first. This is all I spend my time thinking about is backup quarterback scenarios.
Yeah, there we go. All right, gentlemen, that was 30 minutes. We did our week's worth. Thanks so much. You can also rate this podcast. That would really help us out. Share it with a friend. Subscribe. Do all that lovely stuff. Talk to y'all soon. See ya.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.